This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and I trust the program encourages you and challenges you. For those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website. I have a weekly meditation that you might find helpful. There's tracks on that website, my testimonies on that website, an outline of how to study the Bible is on that website. There's a manual for camp counselors as to how I would like to see them present the gospel on that website. So these are some of the valuable tools that I hope you'll take advantage of, and I hope you'll go to the website and utilize it as you need it. So you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to look at the Lord Jesus as the rock. I have dealt with the Lord Jesus as the chief cornerstone on June 23rd, and so some of what I'm going to say is perhaps going to be repetitious, but when we look at the Lord as the rock, it just means that he's the dependable one, the foundation on which we can depend, and we need to understand that. And so we look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, and it says, "For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." So when we look at this term, the rock of our salvation, we find that in the Old Testament and in the New. We know that Peter looked at the Lord as the chief cornerstone, but you'll remember that he had been told that Christ was the rock as well. If we were to go back to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Peter was asked who the Lord Jesus Christ was, and that some had said he was John the Baptist, some an Old Testament prophet, but he said to Peter, "But Peter, whom do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord said to Peter, "I also say to you that you are Peter," and that is a word that means a little rock or a stone. "Thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And while there's controversy as to what that rock is in some circles, it's pretty clear in my mind that that rock is Christ. Again, because Christ is always the rock. And so he says, "I say to you that you are Peter," or a stone, "and on this rock, this truth that you have confessed, that I am Christ, the Son of the living God," or "you are the Christ, the Son of the living God," on that truth, on that rock, on that substantial foundation, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Some think Peter himself was the rock rather than the truth that he had confessed. But if you go on into his writings, you'll find out that he never refers to himself as the rock. But what he does is he refers to himself as a living stone in a building of which Christ is the chief cornerstone. Now, when we look at Christ as the chief cornerstone, there's, I think I've mentioned before, three ways that that is looked at from Peter's writings. Some think the chief cornerstone is the cornerstone in the foundation which holds two walls together and which stabilizes the whole building. It's the cornerstone. It's the one that is laid first in such a way so that everything else is properly matched to it, and so you have a good foundation. And I personally believe that's what the chief cornerstone is. It's the primary stone that solidifies and makes the whole foundation dependable and something that you can build upon. Now, some look at the chief cornerstone as being the keystone in an arch. If you build an arch, apparently the last stone you put in the arch is at the very top, and it holds or stabilizes the whole arch. And it could be that that's the chief cornerstone. And some look at the chief cornerstone as the very capstone of a pyramid. and it's a unique stone that it has a shape that none of the other stones have, and it's the prominent stone when you look at the pyramid, and there's a lot of teaching that could be associated with that, but I'd like to be simple enough to just believe that the chief cornerstone is the foundation stone, which makes the foundation solid and dependable. Now, that stone is extremely important because we have to have something that we can depend upon when we come to understanding our relationship with God. Some people think having a book that has been written is just too simplistic to be true. But generally, when we want to convey a message, we want it to be permanent, we write a book. And so there's travelogues about places you can visit. There's letters from people who have been historical figures in the past. We compile them in a book, and then we can go back and read and reread what's in that book. And so when we look at Christ as the rock, we find out that the words that he says are dependable because he is dependable. And just recently, my wife was working with a woman that she's prayed for, and I've prayed for many years, at least for 2 years, because she had come to the realization that she didn't know where she was going to go when she died, and she really wanted to know. And so she came to a Bible study, and as I understand it, my wife talked to her for a while about the gospel. She'd heard it many times before. But when my wife talked to her, she said to her, "Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? In other words, is it dependable?" And she said, "Yes." And my wife said, "Do you want to be saved?" And this woman said, "Yes." And my wife said, "Do you want to be saved now?" And this woman said, "Yes." And my wife said, "Well, you seem to think you need to know a lot more about the Bible than you already know in order to be saved, but you know enough to be saved." And right there, it seemed like it clicked for her. And when I came home, she told me, she says, "Bruce, I got saved." I said, "How do you know?" She says, "Because it says so right there." And she was pointing to the Bible. That's because the Bible is solid rock truth. She was pointing to the Bible. And I said, "What verse in the Bible was a help to you?" And she said, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so she had gotten a hold of the fact that verse was the truth, and she could depend on what it said. And instead of depending on herself, she had gotten her eye off herself and was depending upon God. And that's why the principle of having dependable truth based on one who is dependable, that is called the rock, is so important in this life. And that's why Peter preached the gospel to build the church. He didn't preach himself. He preached the gospel: "Upon this rock I will build my church." But what's important about this is a lot of people are building on sand. They're not building on a rock. And if we were to go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, the Lord would say at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So you see, the Lord himself is saying that you need to build on the solid foundation of the Word of God and on what has been said, because that is lasting truth. Now, I know when some people read this section, they seem to think that it's implying that they need to keep the Ten Commandments in order to be saved. And we've already seen that when we go through the Bible, Romans says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and no man has ever properly kept the Ten Commandments. Actually, the Ten Commandments can be boiled down into a two-part one commandment, which says that we need to love God and love our neighbor. And none of us actually do that. But what the Lord is saying here is that if you'll listen to me, you'll find out that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And when he began preaching the gospel in Mark, he said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." That's one of the sayings that we should do. And so, as we listen to the Word of God, we find out that we can't save ourselves, but we can save others, we can't save ourselves, but we can be saved by Christ. And when we're saved by Christ, we can be a blessing to others. That's what I meant to say. We can be a blessing to others. And so much of what we read about in the Sermon on the Mount is really the evidence of a person who has been regenerated through the salvation that God has provided through the blood of Christ. They've had their sins forgiven, and they want to love their neighbor. And so the keeping these sayings involves not only coming to Christ for salvation, but then as a child of God, wanting to please the Lord. And so the rock is solid and dependable. And just as my wife's friend could say she was depending on what the Bible said, that's what I'm depending upon today. There's many verses that give me help with regard to this issue of God's salvation. I like a lot of verses that don't even have the word "believe" in them. And then I ask myself, are they true? And when I can say yes, honestly, they're true, then that's really when I am acknowledging that I believe them. So we go to Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or sin of us all. Now that's truth we can depend upon. It's truth that if we trust it, we'll stand the test of the storms of life and will stand the test of eternity. And friend, I hope that you have built your house on the Lord. You've built your house on the rock. In the Old Testament, Moses wanted to see God, but in order to see God, the Lord had to take Moses and place him in the cleft of a rock. And that rock protected him from the holy righteousness of the Lord, which would have consumed him if he hadn't been protected from it. So there's a sense in which the Lord protects us from his own standards of righteousness. And through his blood, we can be saved, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that's solid rock truth. So I hope you're depending on Christ, who is the rock, who is the foundation of everything that a Christian believes, both with regard to being saved for eternity and with regard to being preserved in this life. Thank God for the rock. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today. Bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.